Go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! I gotta tell you, it's been a lovely couple of days. Meteorologically, lovely. This day has just been gorgeous. Of course, that means look for a soft place to land in March around here. It really is a balmy 70 degrees outside. On the way down to a low of 46 tonight. But we may aim for snow come Tuesday. Oh, well, it's March. What do you want? But it is March, and yes, understanding that I am talking about an exploitative boondoggle that feeds upon the talents and efforts of unpaid athletes. It's been a lovely couple of days of March Madness so far. Oh, yes, it has. It got especially lovely today. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Duke took a powder out of the tournament. Yes! Oh! Oh, happy, happy joy. And there were a couple other fun ones yesterday, too. But I don't want to rub anything in. Because after all, my beloved Mountaineers aren't there in the first place, so this is what I got to root for. Well, my beloved Mountaineers made it into the participation trophy tournament, the NIT, where they completely embarrassed themselves with Georgetown. So it leaves me in the position of rooting for little outfits like Mercer, who must have certainly given Coach Weaselface something to scream about. Hot diggity. And I know there's a lot of people. But a number 14 took out a number 3. And the number 3 the number 14 took out was Duke. Yay. I know. Shut up, Bob. One of these days, though, a 16 will take out a 1. It hasn't happened yet. But someday, statistics, the odds just say it'll happen. Not today, not yesterday, but it'll happen. And when it does, I want the 16 to be anybody, and I want the 1 to be Duke. Or Kentucky, I'm sorry. But I also know how my luck runs. Someday, wasn't going to be this year, probably won't be next or the year after, someday my beloved West Virginia Mountaineers will be a number 1 seed. And that'll probably be the year that a 16 takes out a 1. Because that's what it's like to be a Mountaineer fan. That's the kind of thing that happens. So, being a little bit late getting started, like I said, it was a beautiful day, and I'll be honest, time got away from me, and I was outside enjoying the sunlight, the warmth, the just general pleasure of the day, and looked down and went, oh, oh my God, and came a running to the studio. I had done my wandering around and prepping earlier in the day, and just, you know, wanted to have a little bit of the glory of the afternoon as we head into the weekend. I don't know that it'll be this nice for the rest of the weekend. We're looking at rain and clouds Saturday and Sunday. See also naturally. This is, of course, Friday on the front porch. And that means that there will be a round table. Unfortunately, just as a gentle reminder, there's no traditional telephone access. For this Friday on the Front Porch, so it'll be Skype only. If you want to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, our longtime indefatigable moderator is Sparky. Just look for him, if you've never made contact, look for him, Sparky Dunk, S-P-A-R-K-Y-D-U-N-C. Send him a contact request if you never have before, and wow, there you'll be, right there, Friday on the Front Porch. And we'll get that started in a little bit. Of course, you know, with any given program of the week, we try to raise about $150 per evening, and tonight is no different. So that means 15 folks at 10, 2 at 75, 3 at 50, 10 at 15, yeah, 30 at 5, and thereat ends my ciphering and my gazintas. Where to go? Because we kind of just clear out the stacks on Friday, and there's just a lot to work with this evening. Something that we have all been more or less waiting to have happen. And in fact, I think, during the course of our discussions yesterday, it was Robert in Australia who has been watching the new Cosmos program, who said, you know, have the right wingers started clamoring to suppress it? Sometimes it gets creepy. I mean, it's almost like there's some sort of, and maybe it's just because the fundies and the evangelicals and the booger eaters and the birthers and the deathers and the tenthers and the libertarians and the repiglicans and the John Birchers are all so terribly, terribly easy to predict. But sometimes it seems kind of, I don't know, start up the Twilight Zone music-ish that we're able to see this stuff coming from so far away. Enter the Janet Mefford Show. Oh, what was Janet pissed off about the other day? Right Wing Watch does. There is some poor soul, and I've said this before, but it's worth reminding people of the sacrifices that are made. There is some poor soul whose job at Right Wing Watch is to listen to all of this crazy and then edit it and put it out there so that normal people can hear it and know how very, very weird the right wing are in this country. So lo and behold, there it is. It happened yesterday. It was, as noted, the Janet Mefford Show, in which right wings and fundies and people who believe that the world was created in the form that it is just slightly a time ago, slightly shorter than the time at which human beings first wrote down the recipe for bread and beer, that the pissing and moaning commenced. Herewith, then, the Janet Mefford Show from yesterday.
Now, do they do any interviews with scientists themselves during this whole thing, and do they ever give a creationist any time?
Well, no, the creationists aren't even on the radar screen for them. They wouldn't even consider us plausible at all. I don't recall having seen any interviews with people that may yet come, but it's based upon the narration from the host and then various types of little video clips of various things, cartoons and things like that.
Right, but when you have so many scientists who simply do not accept Darwinian evolution, it seems to me that that might be something to throw in there. Some scientists say this, others disagree and think this, but that's not even allowed.
No, and not even the recognition that abiogenesis belief in that is contrary to good science. I was struck in the first episode where he talked about science, how that, you know, all ideas are discussed, you know, everything's up for discussions all on the table, and I thought to myself, no, consideration of special creation is definitely not open for discussion, it would seem.
Because it's not science. Special creation is adherence to a text from the Bronze Age that has about as much relationship to science as, say, the dimensions of a hog do to fitting a Sunday suit. I love how did you catch that one little thing that's at work here, to wit that Janet Mefford is declaring that the Fox News style book must be now applied to everything, including this that program. At some point, Neil deGrasse Tyson has to say, some scientists disagree. Even if the some scientists who disagree exist only in the narrow space that is otherwise filled with the thin gray settling swirling around a giant lizard brain in Janet Mefford's skull and pass for an advanced human brain. Oh, please. I do, though. I love the beginning.
Interviews with scientists themselves during this whole thing, and do they ever give a creation?
Oh, there's that too. Are there interviews with scientists themselves? Hey, Janet, you freaking idiot. Neil deGrasse Tyson is a scientist himself. Oopsie. And do they give it to? What about the creationists?
Nest any time?
Well, no, the creationists aren't even on the radar screen for them. They wouldn't even consider us plausible at all.
Right. And you know why creationists aren't on the radar screen? Because creationists don't believe in radar screens. They believe in stone tablets. That's how far their technology goes. They look at a microscope, they see little demons. Because they're creationists who deny the existence of science. Who believe that the sun really does revolve around the sky, Earth, and therefore can stand still in the sky, just like it says the sun did for, who was it, Joshua? When you have so many scientists who simply do not accept Darwinian evolution, mosquitoes, shut up. Idiots. And had she been paying attention, but of course she isn't, Janet Mefford would have already known that the Earth is younger than the written recipe for bread and beer crowd was not going to be on the Cosmos program, because Neil deGrasse Tyson has already said, and I think this is a quote, "You don't talk about the spherical Earth with NASA and then say, let's give equal time to the flat earthers." Now, for all the reality that this is on Fox, and yes, I've gotten a number of emails thanking among others, Lauren in Canada, that this is produced by Fox because Seth MacFarlane is a Fox guy, and that's where he made his bundle with Peter Griffin. That's nice, Asa. That's well done. Nicely played. Our buddy Asa pointing out via Skype chat. Janet Mefford sounds like she could be Laura Schlesinger's closeted lover. And might be. Some scientists say she is. See how it works? Yeah, it's beautiful. No, the hissy, I have a feeling there's going to be more and more hissy on this. You might want to get your hissy bibs on. Now, we've talked a little bit about, in the past, about Andrea Tanteros. For some reason or another, this idiot is broadcasting into America's fifth smallest radio market, i.e. Beckley, West Virginia. She's actually running on the station that used to run Dr. Bill and Me. And remember last night how Ann Graham Lotz wondered if those 239 people aboard Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 had just actually been raptured? Yeah. Remember how Bill Hemmer wondered? Never mind. Or maybe it was Don Lemon with the black hole open. Hey, Don. If a black hole opened up and swallowed that plane, it would swallow the whole planet, maybe even the entire solar system. Wait, what happened to Uranus? Sorry. Couldn't help it. Now, let's check in now with Andrea Tanteros, a member of the "if her brains were gas, she wouldn't have enough to fill up a pissant's motorcycle and run halfway around the BB Brigade." But maybe for short, we'll just call him the BB Brigade. Let's check in with Radio TV Rwanda, because it's Friday and it's fun and I'm in a good mood.
Families and loved ones of those on board Flight 370 are anxiously awaiting to find out if debris spotted in the Indian Ocean is wreckage from the missing jet. Here are some of their reactions to the news from the last 24 hours.
"I don't think I've stopped shaking since. You know, we just finally settled into a normal routine of waiting, unhappy waiting, but at least, you know, we were going back to normal sleeping cycles and getting in, and I've continued to teach at work. And now this just throws it all, you know, all up in the air again."
Can I ask a quick question? On board that plane were in excess of 200 people of Asian descent, Asian nationality. Why? Well, I don't know. Maybe for reasons of easy logistics. Why was the first person heard from the white lady from America? Because privilege. The white lady from America, I mean, they did have footage of some other family members from other countries and other nationalities, but the white lady went first. Ladies first.
"Yes.
you know, tremendous uncertainty. Imagine if you're one of those family members and you know that another country has the means, has the ability, the economic wherewithal to actually get this investigation going in the right direction, Andrew, where you can get some answers for these poor people. How frustrating. It's like having a cure for a disease and you just can't reach out and take it.
No, because a cure, you moron, means that somebody survives. God, the stupid is strong with these ones. Holy crap. By the way, before Andrea gives her answer, did I mention that you might want to, and you know, whether you go with the neon orange or the neon yellow or plain traditional white, you might want to get the tennis balls out, and we do have a recommendation for the night vision reflective duct tape. Some people favor that. Others favor the happening colors in duct tape because they come in like all the colors of the rainbow now. But you might want to get the tennis balls and the duct tape out. Because Andrea Tanteros, genius not otherwise specified, has an answer for what it's like to be a family member waiting for some sort of information, some sort of closure on this problem. And of course you heard there, didn't you? You heard that how frustrating it is because, of course, white women at Radio TV Rwanda are, of course, perfectly positioned to describe the feelings of suffering humanity as they sit there channeling, empathically channeling the suffering and understanding it. Oh, okay. Good. Jeremy in Vermont's ready now. Velcro. Thank you, Jeremy. If only a government could get its act together. Why, then, why do you suppose a government can't get its act together? Tell us, Andrea Tanteros. You godforsaken idiot, tell us.
No, I mean, watching the footage of that Malaysian woman that was being played over and over last night, it's just so sad. But think how long it took for them to get this kind of media attention. I mean, living in Malaysia, the government seemingly ignored these people. They didn't want their stories to get out. They weren't talking to them. I mean, they were taking, you see the cameras swimming. They were saying, no one has come to my house. No one has told me what has happened.
Yeah, because while you're waiting for word of whether your beloved family member is alive or dead, what you want is a media frenzy in front of your house. Apparently, Andrea Tanteros, idiot, lives on that planet that got sucked in by the black hole that took the plane out. They can't get their story out? We've had 2 weeks of wall-to-wall, 24/7, 365 coverage of this story. And what, if we can have a little journalistic inquiry here, what, I would ask, is the journalistic value of watching another human being suffer? What news value is there in watching a woman scream her agony to an uncaring universe? Are you kidding, Kincaid? Do you have any idea how that'll look if we roll the spiffy music and put the graphics up and everything and have the dum 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 dum? Yeah, oh, it'll be great. I mean, we can sell ads for cars. We can sell ads for pills. We can sell ads for the car that will take you to the drugstore to get the pill that'll make you stop weeping and screaming to an uncaring universe. This is huge! Okay, so let's go back to the genius. Wile E. Coyote. Super genius. Let's go back to the genius, N-O-S, not otherwise specified, that is Andrea Tantaros. We will back up just a hair.
Seemingly ignored these people. They didn't want their stories to get out. They weren't talking to them. I mean, they were taking, you see the cameras swimming. They were saying, no one has come to my house. No one has told me what has happened. Bob, get ready. Put these in your ears. Feels like the families of Benghazi.
Even she acknowledged us. Unfortunately, I've got the things in my ears, and I heard her say it. It's just like the families of Benghazi. Benghazi and a disappeared airliner. Benghazi, where five people were killed because they were in a CIA-sponsored location that could not be reached by the military and the protective services staff, whose budget had been cut by the Republicans in the Congress. That's the very same thing as 239 missing human beings somewhere over the Indian Ocean. It is the same thing! Because Andrea Tantaros has two firing neurons bobbing along in that soup that swirls around the lizard brain and otherwise passes for brains in its own right, that says that she can only process one thing at a time. Benghazi, 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 or Benghazi. God damn, what a dumbass. And you know what? She knew she was doing it. You heard the dramatic pause. You heard the warning. So somewhere in the editorial pre-show meeting, it was determined, okay, Andrea, we're handing this one to you. You're gonna compare it to Benghazi, because everything compares Benghazi. Now you, Kimberly Guilfoyle. You're the one that's going to imply that the administration of that Kenyan Muslim usurper with a deep-seated hatred of white people and apparently Chinese and Malaysians, you're going to be the one who implies that his government is too inept to find an airplane in 5,000 feet of water. You got it, Kimberly?
Yes, sir!
Oh, but Andrea, you're the special one. You're going to carry the flame, the torch of Benghazi.
They weren't talking to them. I mean, they were taking, you see the cameras swimming. They were saying, no one has come to my house. No one has told me what has happened. Bob, get ready. Put these in your ears. Feels like the families of Benghazi. Just saying. Then we're better than that.
Very, very difficult. Eric?
Huh? It feels like the families of Benghazi, and we're better than that. So now, what? Radio Rwanda is going to find some stringers in Malaysia to go to these people's homes and say, okay, tell us your name. Okay, we got the name. You got the name? Good, you got the name. All right. And rolling. So it's true, is it not, that your husband is missing on this plane? Because Barack Obama Benghazi, right? There. With a warm and reminiscent nod toward our old friend Bart Kopp. There ain't enough tequila. Not even with tequila and one of the cute little carnival swirly straws. There is simply not enough. Do they pump raw ether into the editorial meeting room over there at Radio TV Rwanda? Jesus. This is the beauty that is Friday on the front porch. I can't wait to get the discussion going about this. An interesting observation based on the Janet Medford Cosmos hissy coming in from Dwayne. Now these right-wingers want a fairness doctrine? Oh, okay. Dwayne says credit for that observation to some posters over at TPM, not me. But you're the one who said it here, Dwayne, so you get some credit anyway. Yeah, we have to give equal time to the flat earthers and the stone tableters. Not that I've got anything against stone tablets. I think when I get into my more apocalyptic moods, I think a few more stone tablets and a little less digital information might be beneficial. Otherwise, 1,000 years from now or 1,000,000 years from now, the sentient race of 6-foot-tall cockroaches who learn to breathe through their eyelids underwater and start combing the ruins of New York and Boston and Baltimore and D.C. and Wilmington, Delaware and Charleston, South Carolina and Wilmington, North Carolina and Jacksonville, Florida and Fort Lauderdale and Miami and Tampa Bay and Mobile and Biloxi and Houston and Corpus Christi and Pensacola and all, they're gonna think that we were some sort of telepathic species who communicated without ever having to write. We just thought things at each other. Or maybe we were just totally illiterate. Hopefully we will still at least have a few buildings standing from, say, the Roman Empire, like the inscription across the top of the Pantheon, Marcus Agrippa built this. Note coming in from Robert in Australia. Bob, what does this woman at Fox think the Australian government is doing? We've got our entire Air Force, long-range search planes, flying the South China Sea and the Indian Ocean looking for wreckage. And the wreckage that was spotted by satellite could just as easily have been a container from a container ship as plane wreckage. The South Indian Ocean, South Indian Ocean, not South China Sea. The South Indian Ocean is full of the stuff. But see, Robert, and I mean no disrespect, because everybody who listens in from Australia knows how much love I bear the place, because I do. Australia doesn't count to Radio Rwanda, because everything bad that happens on the planet is the fault of the Kenyan Muslim anti-colonialist with a deep-seated hatred of white people. Everything. I mean, darling, you might want to pick up some bread today. The bread went stale. Damn it, Obama! Hey, this coffee's kind of weak. Obama! Oh, flat tire. Obama. Benghazi. So no offense, but If the Australian government somehow miraculously finds the entire plane intact and all the survivors alive, it won't matter. Because Obama hates America and the world and capitalism and the free market. And he's a Marxist fascist. Kenyan Muslim. And it'll only be because there weren't a lot of white people on the plane that it got discovered. See how it works? Robert points out, meanwhile, our media, Dwayne Ocean, has been interviewed a couple of times by all the networks. It's a feeding frenzy. Jesus, I'm feeling a little left out. Hey, Bob, what about the Indian Ocean? Big! Really big! Deep, too! That's an old joke, you know, about the two guys taking a whiz off the bridge, and one guy looks at the other and says, this water's cold. The other guy says, deep, too. Sorry, couldn't resist. I love old jokes. They're like old wines, only with whoopee cushions. That's true. Irish Dave pointing out, I don't have to tell you that in Asia, all oceans look alike. Yeah, like I said, fun night. And just in case, and it bears no further mention beyond this, at least not much, do you have little kids, grandkids? You might want to make sure that their little developing minds are not transformed into giant lizard brains via storybooks. And by the way, I apologize for the scratchy qualities of my voice. It is spring. Pollen, hello. I'm still not quite talking like this yet, so there are things to be grateful for. From the Children's Book Council, for its Book of the Year, Children's Book of the Year Award, the Children's Book Council has a program called Every Child a Reader. And every year, the children's... And because somebody lost their tiny minds, because apparently maybe there's some Cheney-esque mole inside the Children's Book Council, no, really... A junkie who takes illicit prescriptions for Viagra on an all-boys weekend to the Dominican Republic, which is notorious for its child male prostitution. That's right, El Rushbo, the man broadcasting with half his brain, the man with talent on loan from God. Margin call! Wait, that was, no. Margin call! Is one of four finalists for that award. Really? Because I guess there weren't any other children's books written this year. In a moment of sublime self-aggrandizement, Flush Flemball got a sharp stick and a little pile of batshit and started scrawling on the backs of old grape leaves or something, or maybe the backs of OxyContin bottle labels, and wrote something that he called Rush, Revere, and the Brave Pilgrims, Time Travel Adventures with Exceptional Americans. Oh, Jesus. Really, a man who called a female human being, a man who used a microphone and the public airwaves of We the People of the United States to tell a few million Americans repeatedly that a woman named Sandra Fluck is a slut for wanting access for all women to contraceptive care has a decent shot at being given an award for writing a book for children. This is not going over well. The Children's Book Council felt compelled to issue a public letter regarding its decision to nominate Rush Revere and the brave colonial exceptionalists. Somewhere Paul Revere is vomiting in his grave. You know how hard to vomit, how hard it is to vomit when there's nothing left but bones? You have to be pretty disgusted. Talk about the dry heaves. No, really. Dear children's literature community, we at the Children's Book Council and every child a reader sincerely appreciate your concerns about this year's Children's Choice Book Awards and wanted to take a moment to clear up some confusion. Who's confused? I'm not confused. You nominated a book by a junkie, a book by a guy who calls women slut as an excellent choice for parents to give to children. Good for you, Children's Book Council. Good for you. Oh, sweet, suffering, Jeebus on a popsicle stick cruciform, it gets worse. When they have their awards gala, they make little children read the books out loud. And then Rush Revere said, "The woman wants to have America give her free contraception. Well, only if she'll provide video evidence of what a slut she is." Oh, for pity's sakes. Anyway, we wanted to clear up some confusion. First, our finalist selection process for the past 7 years of the program, always posted on bookweekonline.com, has been exactly the same. The Children's Choice Book Awards comprises six categories: kindergarten to second grade book of the year, third to fourth grade book of the year, fifth to sixth grade book of the year, teen book of the year, author of the year, and illustrator of the year. The finalists for the K2, 3, 4, and 5, 6 book of the year categories are all selected by kids through the IRA-CBC Children's Choices Program. The Irish Republican Army's involved? Oh, different one probably. No, okay. Teen Book of the Year finalists are chosen by teens voting on teenreads.com. Author of the Year and Illustrator of the Year finalists are determined solely based on titles' performances on the bestseller lists. All titles in those categories are listed as a result of this protocol. Some of you have voiced concerns over the selection of finalists from bestseller lists, which you feel are potentially manipulable indications of the success of a title. We can take this into consideration going forward, but cannot change our procedure for selecting finalists after the fact. Ultimately, kids and teens, over 1 million of them, if as many vote this year as did last year, will decide all six Children's Choice Book Awards categories on May 14th. So encourage them to vote starting March 25th. Write that down at ccbookawards.com. We have procedures in place to eliminate duplicate, fake, and adult votes during the voting period as much as possible. This program has never been about CBC or ECAR endorsing finalists. It has always been about the CBC and ECAR endorsing young readers and giving them a choice and a voice on a national scale. If you have further questions or concerns about the program, we're happy to discuss them with you. Please contact us directly at cbc.info@cbcbooks.org. All best, the Children's Book Council and every child a reader. I smell a rat. Do you? Here's what they meant, those people who wrote in and said, what the f- are you thinking? Do you even know who Rush Limbaugh is? It's like the Sam Rockwell character in Galaxy Quest looking at Sigourney Weaver and Tim Allen and Tony Shalhoub and saying, do you even watch the program? Do you know what's going to happen? Just let this miserable sack of bile win this award, and he'll run around saying, see, I didn't start a war on women because children love me. But there's something more at work here, because they acknowledge that people have written in going, wait, you base it on what? Bestseller lists? Because by now, we all know, I hope, about the little marks that accompany the New York Times bestseller list. You know that little dagger? And there's a reason I think it's a dagger. That little dagger, for instance, it'll say, Rush Revere and the Desperate Charge for the OxyContin. And name the publisher and how many units sold and what position it is on the list. And it'll have a little dagger by it. What that means is that the Koch brothers and Richard Mellon Scaife and all those other filthy, rich, filthy right-wingers have bought the book by the truckload, by the train load, by the container ship load in order to boost sales. That little dagger is for bulk sales. And I tell you what, when you talk bulk, well, you know what bulk does in your diet. No, and you know, wait 6-9 months, maybe not that long, and pretty soon you'll find Rush Revere and the Midnight Ride for OxyContin at your local Dollar General, Dollar Tree, Family Dollar, Dollar for a dollar. Because this is never, ever, 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 ever about literary quality. Ann Coulter's books, Bill O'Reilly's books, they all have that little damn dagger next to it, meaning that their patrons in the sphere have simply to aggrandize the author and make it look like they're doing something besides writing on the backs of OxyContin labels with a sharp stick and a little pile of batshit. You'll also note that it's very seldom that you will ever see a book by a progressive author with a dagger next to it. So don't be surprised. And then Rush Revere looked at his third wife down in the pit and said, honey, there's a reason black quarterbacks never succeed in the NFL. And I'm sorry for the signal loss, but we are back. Thanks for letting me know. So just wait. Wait until he starts billing himself as with talent on loan from God and the favorite author of American children. At which point, Ted Geisel, otherwise known as Dr. Seuss, will start vomiting in his coffin. Under the subject line, a standing joke, Robert Nestrelli writes, Bob, and please take no offense at the following comment, I won't. There's a standing joke about Americans in Australia. For Americans, there's America, and then there's the rest of the world. I don't think that's a joke, Robert. I think that is the attitude of most of the people in this country. because it's the greatest country on the world. I mean, everybody has health care? No. I mean, everybody's got enough to eat? Uh-uh. Everybody got a job? Sorry. Well, but, you know, Benghazi. It's sad, but the ugly American is also too sadly typical. I remember sitting in Buer, Germany, having a lovely meal, and my genial host looking at me and saying, you're not like most Americans. You do not come over here and tell us how great it is in America and how we need to be more like you. I said, nope, sorry, that's not me. We've run out of stuff to brag about. And we've buffered up again, so I apologize. Hey, thanks very much, Sal. Sal's got us started on our fundraising this evening. Sal is there day in, day out. Yes, Americans tend to believe there's America and then there's everyone else. Now, where's the joke? I need to laugh a little. Yeah. It's all too sadly unfunny. Irish Dave pointing out, you mean American exceptionalism is deadly serious? Yeah, deadly enough to take out a planet. So, hey, it is Friday on the front porch, and I'm looking forward to it. Let's get it fired up. If I can keep a stream going. Let's get Friday on the front porch fired up and jump right in. I had a note from Kevin asking about maybe figuring out some way to bring some of the phone people who get, and it can be done, just to get a telephone line. You can dial in, and it'll come in on my Skype line. We'll get that done. It just takes a little time. But for now, Friday on the front porch with the Horn Malloy Skype chat group will begin momentarily, so jump on in. The conversation is fine. We'll take a little break and come back, of course. Rush Revere. And the Midnight Ride for OxyContin. Why not? This is Conversation Radio. This is the Horn. Listener supported. I'm Bob Kincaid.
just become a heavy believer. Won't you take the ride, 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 ride on heavy road? It's the only way that you can travel down that road.
Parody in there somewhere. That, of course, is a band called Riggs from 1981, the heavy metal soundtrack. Radar Rider, Radio Rider. Oh, yeah, we can. Probably too much work. This is the horn. It's a buffered up Friday on the front porch. I hope to goodness you're hearing me. I don't know if you are or not. There's been some buffering problems, and I think we're back, but I'm not entirely certain. I know Marty heard us because he loves, Marty says, I love this song, Taking a Ride on Heavy Metal. I'm mentally playing air guitar now, Marty says. How can you not? I just love it. It's just a magnificent intro. Okay, it is Friday on the front porch. I'm encouraged, because we got phone problems on the traditional telephone line, and you'll have to jump in on the Horn Malloy Skype chat group. And we've got the Horn Molloy Skype chat group online now, up and running for Friday on the front porch. Good evening, Sparky.
Good evening, Bob. I've been running around like a chicken with my head cut off from going from the computer to the Kindle. See if you were coming back.
I'm so sorry.
But Roger's here and Sergi's here.
Yeah, we got Roger and we got Sergi, and I'm sure hopefully, well, I mean, I'm sure more will wander along presently as soon as figure out that we're actually on the air.
I sent out the bat signal.
Oh, very good, very good.
Horzak just sent me, I will put him in. HC.
Oh, yay. Yeah, our buddy Horst. And there he is.
Got it.
Hey, Horst, how are you, buddy?
Pretty well. It's kind of early here.
Well, I can well imagine, and you're probably sitting there worrying about the fact that Fox News has declared that, you guys are next after Russia completes its overrun of the Ukraine.
Has that made it to Fox yet? I haven't heard it.
Yeah,
I think
I thought it was Fox. Maybe it wasn't.
No, I got a link. One of the local bloggers here reposted something that he wildly disagreed with about the idea that Kiev could somehow set an example for Taiwan to follow, and which is why China abstained from voting in favor of whatever it was on the UN Security Council. I'm not really clear on it. But so far, I didn't know if that's made it to Fox.
No, maybe I was wrong. Maybe I caught it on your feed on the Facebook and just maybe I jumped the gun and assumed it was Fox. It sounded kind of foxy.
Came from Counterpunch.
Oh, okay. Who was the idiot a couple of days ago that was screaming that North Korea was going to? It was O'Reilly. Yeah, Falafel Man was hollering that because Russia had retaken, you know, there's an argument about that too, the Crimea, that North Koreans would come pouring over the 38th parallel just any minute now. No, is it the 38th parallel? Anyway, the line demarcating North and South Korea.
The DMZ? No, I don't even know. It's Vietnam. I got my terminology confused.
Yeah, see, it's very easy.
Like O'Reilly.
Yeah, and Iran is going to start World War III with the nuclear weapons they don't have because.
Well, of course.
Because the Kenyan Muslim with the deep-seated hatred of white people wouldn't stand up to the manly man leader of Russia, Benghazi, IRS, Agenda 21. Yeah. You know.
No, they're just itching. They're biding their time with their finger on that button that they don't have.
That's funny. That's tonight's toaster.
They're
biding their time with that button they don't have. Yeah. But, was it earlier in the week that William Kristol basically called America a bunch of wusses because we wouldn't start World War III? I don't get these. I hate them, but I don't get them either. Then again, I guess war is pretty fun as long as you don't have to fight it.
That's kind of the playbook, isn't it?
Nobody's gonna trundle Charles Krauthammer out to the front and hand him a military weapon and say, "Hey, yeah, get shooting, Chuck."
Sorry, I don't know what the protocol is. Do I have the stick here or something?
No, you don't. I mean, you don't have any stick.
Okay.
It's just a free.
I don't know if I'm supposed to be talking or what.
It's a free form conversation. Anybody can talk, and
I don't step on anybody.
No, if we start having over talk, you know, we're polite. We're friends here, and so you know, that's generally how it works. Good evening, Sergi.
Good evening, Bob.
How in the world are you?
Well, we're going to be getting some beneficial rain here later tonight through Saturday, Sunday, and then another round in the middle of next week. So I'm happy that the sun spill is over for now, although it will inevitably be back. let's see. Other than that, just been taking care of business. Down at the Tarrant County Democratic Party headquarters, still helping out the Wendy Davis campaign, working odd jobs, the usual.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I kind of weird. I felt humidity here for the first time in a very long time today and didn't know quite what to make of it. Hey, why is the air feel wet?
Yeah, I noticed that on Weather Studio last night and today. Now, I think I've mentioned this in the group before, but not on the air. I discovered this really cool program called Weather Studio, and it is it's basically the most powerful weather software that is, you know, affordable and available to the civilian market, and it's pretty cool stuff. I wish Lottie were here in this chat right now. He'd love it, because basically it's a global weather program. You see weather conditions from all around the world. You can look at models, look at radar, satellite, all the way down the street level and neighborhood level. And you can mark places on the map and keep track of weather for all these different spots at once. And, you know, like I marked Wacky's location in San Antonio, and Devin told me and your location. So now it's a pretty neat little program. It's just like what they have on the TV, really. And in fact, there is a commercial version for TV stations. And it's a pretty neat thing. So, and anyone who's interested in is a weather geek like me, or just, you know, just wants somewhere where they can keep track of the weather without having to, you know, watch TV or, you know, whatever, I'd say look into it. It's a pretty neat thing.
Oh, sounds fun. I wanted to toss something out there for folks' consideration. You may recall the story a few nights ago, the Parkersburg South High School, that's of course West Virginia, guy who posted the screed against the Gay Straight Alliance club meeting at Parkersburg South High School, and said, "We are also considering a drunks teetotaler club, drugged sober club, smokeless tobacco versus smokes club, street racing and deer poaching clubs." Well, if you can call this justice, there has been a little bit of justice. He's been suspended. He was suspended for 4 days this week. He won't come back until Monday, March 31st, after spring break, because the Parkersburg School District's spring break is next week. After spring break, the school board is going to have further deliberations to decide whether physics teacher Foggin should be paid for the time that he was suspended. But you're going to love this, though. There's always a motive. After he got busted for being the homophobic bigot that he is, he said, he went over to his Facebook page, because he has not learned the first law of holes, and declared that he would be running for sheriff of Wood County, West Virginia in 2020.
Hey, Todd, you got to kill your radio.
A bit bigot that he is.
Turn it off.
I thought I recognized that guy. Not Todd, my voice. You're going to love this, though. After he declared his hatred for gay straight alliances, Teacher Foggin said, "I love everyone and I promote fairness and equality. I have difficulty with favoritism and bias given any person or group. So that's what it is. It's favoritism and bias if the Parkersburg South High School students decide that they want to have a gay-straight alliance. If they want to have a group of straight people who will say to their gay fellow students, we don't hate you, and the gay students look at the hetero students and say, we don't hate you either. That is favoritism, according to this physics teacher. And then he said, love you all. Get a concealed carry permit while you still can. Protect yourself. That is, of course, URSELF and your family. Thank God for every breath he give you.
The
physics teacher.
Strangling the English language, or as it's alternatively known, wanton cruelty to the common comma.
Physics teacher, really? There are times that I hang my head in shame for this poor, beaten down, bedraggled state in which I live.
People like him are everywhere, including in, you have states that are more progressive, like California, like Washington. I mean, you got wackos like him everywhere.
Well, unfortunately, yes, the wackos you have always, the wingnuts you have always with you.
If you look in the rural lands of eastern Oregon, or, if I was to meet the city limits of Fort Worth, people like him are all over the place. It's not just West Virginia, Bob. It's everywhere. But
Sergi, when it's happening to you, it feels like it just, ugh.
I understand that feeling. As far as GSAs go, it's something that really should be in every school, really, because it facilitates acceptance. I refuse to use the word tolerance, something that you tolerate is something,
that you might otherwise kill, but you're a better person than that, right?
Yeah, it's like, there's this dude sitting next to me snapping gum on the bus. I'll tolerate him until I get to my stop. That's tolerance. Acceptance is a whole other ballgame. And that's what it's, you need to work up towards acceptance, not just tolerance.
Exactly.
Although I do have to, say this, though, is that, everyone does have skeletons in their closets, and there are many, many, many fields in which the LGBT community needs to get their house in order, too, because there is discrimination on their part, which does lead to a lot of hypocrisy.
Well, I remember a long time ago when Peter Godbold was doing his groundbreaking program, Strictly Confidential. He had a guest on to talk, just things you don't know, and that's why this stuff becomes wonderful, because you learn new stuff. I didn't realize that there was some sort of pecking order in the trans community, that somehow or another the transsexual, the post-ops beat up on the pre-ops, and the pre-ops beat up on the passables, and the passables beat up on the non-passables, and There's a lot to be worked on in the way of acceptance and what I like to think of as common human decency.
Yes, I have done a lot of reading on the trans community and what goes on there, it's not just that either, because my main overall point, and I am sure to make this point every day because it's something that I feel very few people really think about or consider, is that, it is fine and dandy for an LGBT person to say, I'm being discriminated against, because they are, all over the nation and all over the world. Anti-LGBT discrimination you know, is prevalent, and it's something to highlight. However, there are a lot of hypocrites out there who say that kind of stuff. They are members of the community, and they say that kind of stuff, but then in their personal life, in their romantic life, and I've seen this firsthand as a member of that community, is that, you know, you have a lot of what is this called sexual racism. You have a lot of people who, potential romantic partners, they won't even give a chance just because of the color of their skin. You know, potential romantic partners, they won't even give a chance because of their socioeconomic status. Potential romantic partners, they won't even give a chance, you know, because of height or because of, you know, what culture they come from. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm all for campaigning against discrimination, but I do have to say there are a lot of people out there who, you know, are quite hypocritical. They need to, you know, cut the discrimination from their own lives before they start talking about it, you know, against them.
Well, I think I think there's real value in you bringing that up, Sergi, because part and parcel of acceptance is a certain degree of education, right?
Yes, and I have educated many of my fellow G's, so to speak, on, you know, the G and LGBT. I've educated plenty of them on the fact that race is an artificial construct. Because so many of them try to say, well, you know, would you call me sexist because I don't like women? It's like, really? Apples, kumquats? Gender is, you know, seriously, it's apples to kumquats. It's like, no, because gender's part of nature, you know.
Or at least sexual, let's not even call it sexual, reproductive plumbing. Gender, yes, you know, gender is largely a construct, too.
Yeah, I do have to admit that. You know, but it's like, because, you know, yes, they came, yes, they and me and everyone, you know, out there came out the womb destined to like, you know, certain types of plumbing versus this, versus that, et cetera, et cetera. We came out the womb destined for that. But there's, you know, saying that you came out the womb destined to not like black people or not like white people today and be, you know, romantic partners with is like saying you came out the womb destined to prefer Ford over Chevy.
Yeah, and you know, even that line about, you know, not liking women, what?
It's an extremely common line, Bob. It's so many parallels to something a right winger would say, and it just disgusts me. It's like, really, you know, you're comparing, you know, racist romantic tendencies to something that is natural. It's like, there's no comparison.
Without a doubt. Hey, I wanted to share something here because our buddy the Angry Indian sent this along a few minutes ago, and it cannot be passed up. I don't know. Is it completely inane? And I will get, I'm sure, emails saying, yes, Bob, it is. Move on. But I can't. I can't resist. When the for-profit media have really, really outdone themselves in proving their worthlessness here with the Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 story, and I think we thought we had reached the shark jumping moment with Don Lemon and Supernatural and whoever it was and Black Hole, but no, it turns out we haven't, and it didn't even happen at Fox. It happened at Headline News, HLN. I remember when Headline News was what you watched when you didn't have the time to sit and watch an entire hour-long segment of news on CNN back when they still did news. It's kind of like back when MTV still played music videos. Jenny Hutt is a host. That's what she's referred to as a host on HLN. Not an anchor, not a newscaster, a host. And, well, let's just check in with the exchange. because you're going to love this knot a lot. It's precious.
In the past, governments have used psychics to help with searches. Can they use a psychic here?
It may seem an odd question, but I know these people have been used in murder investigations on many, many occasions. Radio Tweak, investigators sometimes use psychics. Why hasn't anyone considered the services of a credible psychic specializing in missing persons?
Wait, stop. Credible. Can we just have a brief conversation about credible psychic?
Yes, we can, because it's kind of like saying, you know, credible homeopath.
Well, or kumquat flavored apple. Yeah, but anyway, okay. So we have credible psychics. Do go on, headline news.
I mean, it sounds incredible, but they have been used before.
Good to be with you tonight. I'm Lynn Berry. Dr. Drew has the night off. I'm back with Jenny. And Jenny, when I heard him talking about that, I saw your face. You were making a couple of them. What are you thinking?
Yeah, look, I am all for wanting to believe in mysticism and psychics and stuff. And there are these tremendous stories where they figure things out. But I don't know, Lynn.
You're not alone.
I don't know.
You're not alone. Social media comments, controversy, skepticism surrounding the use of psychics to help find this light.
Works great.
Yep, a lot of people are out there saying that. Sam's still with us. Joining us as well, though, Lisa Williams, a psychic medium, and Les Aben, CNN aviation analyst and a 777 pilot. Lisa, I'll start with you. You know, your theory here is that this plane landed somewhere. Some of the passengers are still alive, but the co-pilot was involved. I'm going to start first and foremost with, there are people at home right now that are going to shake their head at that, that are going to be disappointed that you would take that leap when you don't have hard, concrete evidence. What would you say to those people?
Well, naturally, I don't actually have hard, concrete evidence. And I think any psychic who has hard, concrete evidence can't do their job correctly, because they get misinformed, they get interpreted, and they'll just work on what they know. So I tend to work off what I don't know.
God almighty, there it is. The entire for-profit media in one concise statement. I tend to work off what I don't know.
And just start making shit up.
Yeah, right. Fling it at the wall, see if it sticks, and if it does, fling some more at that. This, of course, is a credible psychic.
You mean grifter?
Well, yeah, because if you look it up, Sparky, it says psychic, see grifter.
Yeah, whenever I think of psychics, I think of that crazy woman. Do y'all remember back when Montel Williams still had a TV show? And what was that woman's name, that supposed psychic that would come on the show and, oh, I'm hearing messages from your dead relatives.
Oh, and who's the guy? I don't know. He was a former carpet layer or something that had a show for a while. Or I'm thinking of somebody whose name started with a B. C. D. E. F. F? We got an F? Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. He's in the afterlife. He died of cancer, heart disease, car wreck, bicycle accident. Yeah, him. He wants you to know don't forget to pay the mortgage. Make sure and get the spare fixed for the Volkswagen, Subaru, Toyota. Yeah, that guy. What was David Edwards? Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
I remember reading on Rational Wiki, and by the way, anyone who's looking for a great, source of info, it's basically kind of like a progressive Wikipedia. It's called Rational Wiki, and there's a whole article about the tactics that these, you know, supposed psychics use and these supposed mediums use. And basically, Bob, you hit the nail on the head, is that they'll, you know, in a big crowd of people, like what you would find in a TV studio, there's bound to be someone, you know, who has, you know, when you notice how they always stay general.
Sure.
Their name starts with a B, and then they'll just go through. It's like, you're bound to find someone.
Right. It's the same shtick that obtains in an evangelical faith heal intent meeting. They'll say something like, I know, brother and sister, and that we have someone here today with a toothache.
Me.
Human nature. I do give these grifters, these flim-flam artists, I do give them credit for having an intimate knowledge of human nature. And particularly, as pointed out by George C. Scott in the great 1967 film, The Flim-Flam Man, a knowledge of the darker side of human nature. And you know, of course, it was W.C. Fields who said long, long ago, you can't cheat an honest man. So there's that. But anyway, just for the fun of it, now that we know that this credible psychic, because she wouldn't be on HLN if she wasn't a credible psychic, because HLN would never bring an incredible psychic on, such an interesting monster. You know, I was just saying to my girlfriend the other day, if an interesting monster can't have an interesting hairdo, I don't know what the world's coming to. Bobby pins, please. Oh, that's never going to work. You're going to need a permanent end. Never mind. Bugs Bunny moment. Sorry. No, let's go back to the credible psychic.
Mm. Okay, so what goes to that? Les, you're a naysayer when it comes to psychics, but they have been used in murder cases and a lot of criminal cases. What's your reaction to what Lisa?
You know, so have bloodhounds, but they can't swim. They can't swim. They can't go real deep in 5,000 feet of water. Oh, God.
Dang.
Well, to what success, with no disparaging Lisa's profession. I mean, listen, I'm an airline pilot. I deal in black and white. It's difficult for me to in this particular circumstance to think that a psychic could solve a problem that people all over the world are not able to solve at this point.
And I think probably, Les, you're not alone with that. Sam, you have a question for Lisa?
I do, and I say why not? I want to hear what Lisa has to say. Lisa, you believe that this plane was hijacked and that some of the passengers are still alive. Do you have any idea where the passengers are being held, if this is indeed true?
Well, this is actually an interesting question because I do believe that it actually crashed and I see a lot of trees. I didn't specifically look into this for a reason.
Trees. She sees trees in the middle of the Indian Ocean. Trees. I mean, I guess there are a couple of islands there, but trees.
Reason, because I'm actually reading for some of the family's friends.
Wow.
And so therefore, I've actually only looked at it today, and I saw them landing in a lot of overhang of trees. I kept feeling as though, yes, there are some people that have passed away, because it's only natural after these amount of days someone is going to cross with no food, no water. But I also believe there was a hijacking, and I think there is also a larger organization behind all of this that is leading us off track. With this debris, I think they're leading us off track. So therefore, it's all kept hush-hush.
She believes. I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. Oh, dear God. No more singing. I'm sorry. And this is, I mean, is this solely for the purpose of selling another tube of toothpaste or whoever had bought that particular block of time at Headline News? Is that all this is?
It had to have been. I got to take care of something. I'll be right back.
Okay. No worries. And Fritz in Arkansas just tweeted in and said, psychics, Friday on the front porch discussed, psychics make me think of that singer Dionne Warwick who shilled for those ads on TV for the Psychic Friends Network. Yeah, well, the first thing that always comes to my mind is, and how long ago was it? And why is this still on? Why is this still part of some little electrical connection between a couple of neurons in my brain? Call me now. Remember her? Really?
I'm not too sure.
Yeah, that might be a little bit before your time. She had a thick Caribbean / Jamaican accent, and call me now.
Oh, Miss Cleo.
Yeah. Yes.
It just occurred to me. Oh, yeah. I remember when I was a kid watching, like, I would, like, turn on the TV on the weekends and, like, see infomercials with her on. Oh, yeah, she was a character.
And I always thought, no, you call me. You're the psychic.
Yeah, that is a good point. If she is so psychic, she should say, okay, so-and-so from such-and-such city is about to call me. Ring, ring, ring.
Exactly, but it never quite works that way.
Yeah, I wonder what happened. It's like I'm sure someone wised up to her scam because I haven't seen her.
Steve also remembered Miss Cleo. Robert in Australia pointing out, Bob, if psychics were any good, they'd be super rich. They'd win the lotto every week. We wouldn't need a police force. They'd know who committed every crime. There'd be no wars. They'd always know what the other side was about to do, and on, on, and on. Yeah, they would ruin the lottery, wouldn't they?
Shoot, I wish I was psychic just because of the lottery thing. Shoot, we had the Powerball.
Or maybe just to have the X-ray. Then again, I mean, let's not get greedy. We could all have just X-ray vision so you could see through the stuff in the scratch-off tickets.
Yeah, she really is. I mean, it's like, you know, give me psychic powers just for a freaking week so I can win the Powerball and be set for life and send, you know, a good chunk of change to you for your house and the hoard and just let me.
Exactly. So let's this clip is just a gift that keeps on giving. Let's go back for a minute.
You know, Lisa, that's your theory, and there are a lot of people out there that have theories. Les, I'm curious what your theory is of what happens here.
Well, you know, interesting enough, Lisa's.
Wait just a second. I have to jump in before we hear what Les's theory is. This is how the word theory gets in the trouble that it's in. These are not theories. These are speculations. These are guesses. Black hole, supernatural event, rapture, hijacking, crashed in the ocean and is at the bottom of 5,000 feet of water under intense pressure. These are all speculations. Or, you know, one of my favorites out of this clip, when the psychic says the debris was put there by someone else to confuse us. Right? It's theorizing like this that is actually nothing more than speculation. It's theorizing like this that makes it easy for the weirdos and the fundies and the floor rollers and the strychnine swiggers and the snake handlers and the head greasing anointers to say, well, evolution's just a theory. I mean, climate change and global warming is just a theory. It's just, I mean, you know, it's a theory just like thinking that plane was flown away by aliens. It's just a theory.
Precisely. Whenever I come across someone who, you know, who tries that just a theory line, I say, all right, how about gravity? That's just a theory, too. What do you think keeping us from floating off into space?
Maybe we need to start referring to evolution as the law of... Wait. Isn't natural selection pretty much a law as it is?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it is proven. It is proven, and it's being proven every day. Like, London, I think it was London or some other big city in the UK, the London Moths is the example that I use. Is how back in the 1800s, you know, and the Industrial Revolution happened, and obviously, you know, pollution hadn't yet been controlled, and, you know, the London was pretty much bathed in smog and soot and all
poison.
Kinds of junk.
Yeah, poison.
Poison. Yeah, there were moths that, before all that, were white, right? Well, a lot of the moths started getting stained brown and black and gray because of the pollution. Well, the birds that ate those moths, you know, that got, you know, moths are part of the bird's diet, obviously the moths that didn't get stained were still bright white and weren't able to blend in to the buildings and to the streets and such like that. They got eaten by the birds more. So what eventually started happening over the course of a few decades was that the moths started to just be born.
Yeah, they mutated. They mutated. You know? And mutation is... Yeah, mutation is the central tenet of natural selection, unless I've got it completely bass-ackwards. I love the way people think. Roger, for instance, has a great suggestion for the lady on Headline News. Just let her play the stock market and win the $1 billion in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, that would have been a great one. Because, when did this happen? Let's see. The date is today, 8:04 a.m. today. So it must have been, it was last night. It was last night. A thorn being created on Thursday, when this was. Ma'am, you wanna give us your? I tell you what, just give us your Sweet 16, your Elite Eight, your Final Four, and your winner and the spread.
Oh, I don't follow your American basketball.
Right? But also over in the chat room, Waggy pointing out, Bob, this isn't even speculation. This is brainstorming the movie version. Which is, yeah.
Can I say something, Bob?
Yeah, jump.
A guy, somebody just tried to call me with a Skype phone number. That won't work.
No, that will not work. You have to send a contact request to Sparky Dunk. And then Sparky will, yeah. I have a feeling I know who that was. So, the regular phone line thing doesn't work. It has to be a Skype
account. I mean, your regular.
Yeah.
With your Skype name and everything. So I can add you as a contact.
Precisely, yes. And thanks for that update.
Getting back to that theory thing.
Yes, please.
When I was in high school geometry back, very early 60s, in my geometry class, we spent an awful lot of time proving theorems. And a theorem is a theory. And then you take and you use logic and you prove it or disprove it. And to me, this whole screw-up of using theory for speculation is the right-wing, I'll be kind, right-wing folk are intentionally confusing it so that theories are bad things, not things to be dealt with, but bad things.
And you know, here's the larger, or perhaps maybe it's a tangent. I'm not sure if it's a tangent or a line segment. I've forgotten most of my geometry, Roger. But it is deliberately designed to confuse people. Now, it doesn't confuse you. It doesn't confuse anybody in this chat group. It does not confuse anybody in the Horn family commune. But unfortunately, we are a relatively small population. It does confuse people who, the height of whose analytical skills are being able to tell what night Honey Boo Boo Child is on.
Well, I don't give a rat's ass about Honey Boo Boo. I've never seen it.
You hope you never see one, but you get my point. You don't have to dumb down a majority of America. You just have to dumb down a significant plurality. And we've got, 27% of this country, for instance, thinks that, is of a mindset that thinks that this woman had an actual place on this otherwise annoyingly stupid speculative panel about what happened to the airplane.
Well, Well, unfortunately, I missed the show you're talking about because I try to avoid television as much as possible.
No, this clip that I've been running right here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. But I don't know what her numbers are. Anybody that wants to do the homework can look it up. But, you know, this Janet Meffords at the beginning of the program.
Why won't they give equal time to creationists on Cosmos?
Because it's a 15-second segment. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Okay, you've had your time. Goodbye.
Well, but why won't the Catholic preacher or the fundamentalist or the guy that just became room temperature, why didn't he allow time for rational thought at his pulpit on a Sunday? It's not part of his shtick. Well, it's not part of the Cosmos shtick. If you want to do that, build yourself a church down the road like the Mormons did here in town and preach whatever you want in that church. Anybody who wants to listen to it, goes to it. If you don't want to listen to it, you don't go to it. But I'm not asking them to put me up in the pulpit to tell them how crazy they are, but I also don't want them coming down my driveway telling me how crazy I am.
Well, here, and you know, here's the fun part. If you want to start that church, you get to do it on American welfare, because tax-free status is a form of welfare.
Right.
What a beautiful hustle. But no, you're absolutely right in your observations. But that's ultimately the difference. You can start that church that you're describing, Roger, but it's going to be a church. It's not going to be a scientific institute. No matter how much, I mean, you can call it the First Church of Scientific Institute. There's not going to be any science going on there. It reminds me of the bumper sticker I saw in a Unitarian parking lot near D.C. one day that I just loved. And it said, don't pray in our schools and we won't think in your churches.
I've seen that one, too, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
And that's kind of what it boils down to. This is the difference between believing and thinking.
Well, the Unitarians are about the only church whose members I can get along with. And at one time I was investigating religions, but anyhow, I asked Mom and Dad and a few other people about, well, what do the Unitarians really believe in? And I got told, well, they're really atheists that want to belong to a church.
Well, the thing about the Unitarian Church is that it's meant to be a church that brings together people of all different creeds. And like, you know, in a typical Unitarian Universalist church, you'll find atheists, agnostics, Christians, Hindus, Jews, you know, Muslims, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so on. It's the thing that unites you use is the seven principles, which I can't name off the top of my head. But if you Google them, it basically boils down to doing others right, doing the earth right, community, compassion, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what unites Unitarians.
And Roger's absolutely right, because the fact of the matter is, nobody gets to raise their hand in church, of any of them, and say, yeah, but really, human parthenogenesis is impossible. Because, first of all, most of the people in the churches wouldn't understand what the word parthenogenesis means. And secondly, because that is a challenge of orthodoxy. And the very nature of orthodoxy is such that it may not be challenged.
If I could add an observation there.
Yeah.
Also, it's important to keep in mind that the nature of the church itself has really changed drastically over the last 20 or 30 years since the Reagan era. I mean, it's become much more politicized than it used to be. When I grew up in our little United Methodist Church, there was no preaching on social issues or current issues or any of the things that you hear about being politicized now. I mean, nobody talked about abortion. I mean, maybe maybe in private, but like this was not like a central theme of any of the sermons that I, okay, admittedly tuned out most of them, but it wasn't the kind of thing that was on the table in those days.
No, in point of fact, it was, and may, you know, if there's a hell, I'd like to think that he's roasting in it, but you know, he believed all the right things, so he's probably in heaven if that exists. Jerry Falwell. It was Jerry Falwell who transformed the Southern Baptist Church into the militant political wing of the Republican Party, because prior to the ascension of Reagan, the Southern Baptist Convention was pretty much decidedly unpolitical, Horst, having taken the position of "you stay out of our church and we'll stay out of politics," which is actually a pretty solid. It's a pretty solid policy position to take.
Well, you grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, right? I don't have any experience with them, but like when you were actually attending, did they, you know, during church, during the actual sermon, during the portion of it, you know, when everyone's like together in the chapel or whatever, did they actually discuss political issues or current events?
No.
Right, that's what I'm getting at. I mean, like, yeah. I think that was kind of the universal thing, but at least prior to the.
Yeah. No, that is what, and lo and behold, here comes Jerry Falwell, and one of the first things he did was sell little allegedly sterling silver pins that said "God first." And after that, the full-scale hustle was on. And by the way, I didn't just precipitously bail out of the conversation. For some reason or another, Skype up and gagged on me. So hopefully we'll get it restarted. And Sparky, if you would just bring me back into the conversation. I would sincerely appreciate it. I'm restarting Skype now. I have no idea. There we go. Yeah, okay. Sorry, everybody. I don't know what happened there. It just, boom, Skype died. Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Can you hear me now, Bob?
Oh, yeah, I've got you. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's this. Okay. I figured out who's calling me.
Okay.
See if this works. Karen.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if she's going to pick up or not. But it was driving me crazy. It kept ringing up, so I don't know if I dropped you or...
No. I mean, no, it wasn't you dropped me. I mean, Skype quit, shut down, went away.
Oh, it could have been because I answered the phone. I don't know.
That wouldn't take the program all the way down, would it? I mean, I had to restart Skype and put the password in and all of that stuff all over again.
Oh.
Yeah, but no, Irish Dave knows what. Skype was gagged by Barack Hussein. Yeah.
Oh.
Irish Dave also wants to know whether Nancy Grace of HLN has yet convicted OJ of the hijacking, you know, of the plane. Let's go back just for the fun of it, because we stopped in mid speculation. I want to give this entire panel of geniuses an opportunity to speculate. This guy actually is a pilot, so I don't know, he might actually talk some sense. So let's check in.
Lisa's theory about airplanes potentially, or the airplane crashing into a land-based area. That's a theory that I very much believe in. I'm not sure that what you're showing right now on the screen may actually be airplane debris. I think we really should be looking in the jungle areas.
Wow.
Specifically. But my reason is much more methodical and more, you know,
not
black
crazy.
White type situation. I believe that these crew members were heroes, and I think they were dealing with a situation that got out of control, and they attempted to divert the airplane to a place to the west, like has been shown all along. And
so, Les, you're talking more about that. You're talking more about that idea that there could have been a fire on plane, and that is what disabled the communication. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, a fire is the most plausible situation with smoke involved and so on and so forth. There could be other issues. There could have been other problems with reference to hypoxia, if maybe a windshield blew out, something to that effect, or cracked and slowly caused a leak. But I doubt that situation. But any sort of mechanical problem that might have occurred, I'm thinking that the crew was fighting an issue.
Well, Jenny, go ahead.
So, Lisa, do you think we're going to get an absolute resolution? Do you think that they're going to actually find out what really happened?
I think eventually you will find out. I think it will actually happen because I do believe that it's actually going to be coming out. And I do feel as though it's going to be actually coming out within the next 3 weeks for some reason.
Really? She narrowed it to 3 weeks. That's some psychicking, right?
Yeah.
They should have had her when it was time to find the missing weapons in Baghdad. Or Tikrit, was it north, south, east, and west?
Right. They're either north, south, west, or east. Oh, God. Oh, help me. But, you know, you gotta, that's the curse of the 24-hour news cycle, is it just cycles and cycles and cycles. And you can't just be given news from all over the world or anything. You gotta have something that grabs people, like maybe a psychic, and we'll call it news, and we'll use it to sell some blue.
It's still playing.
Huh?
Or there's some kind of an echo or something. Oh, sorry, it's on my end.
Okay, good, because. I've had a few instances of that lately, and
I forgot to turn off iTunes.
Oh, okay. Well, no, it's really frustrating though, because I've had instances lately where stuff starts spontaneously playing advertising audio. It happened to me last night, and I hate it. And anybody who knows how to make it not happen, please let me know.
Ad blocker would be a good start.
No, these things aren't pop-ups. These are the embedded video ads, you know, down the sidebar of a website, and they just start.
Yeah, ad blocker will bust those. I don't know what browser you're using, but if you're using something derived from Firefox, you can get a plug-in.
Okay. Yeah.
Or something
Waggy says, yeah, ad blocker will do it. Unfortunately, unfortunately, no, I'm using IE, which I hate, but Chrome proved to be a bust because it. Oh, never mind. Hey, a little reminder: we do try to raise $150 every evening. We have $145 to go, and no company as yet for Sal. As he steps in every evening, so any help is much appreciated, and it helps to keep. Well, it's how this all works. The PayPal button's over at headonradionetwork.com, and so too is, of course, the traditional mail address. Anybody else got anything that they want to jump into, topic wise, this evening? I've been sort of. Running the show, as it were, and that's not what Friday on the Front Porch is about.
Yeah, well, earlier, I tuned in earlier, and you had the clip running of the man and the woman talking about how your creation, wasn't on the table.
Yeah, in Cosmos.
Yeah. That one disturbed me enough. I had to go. I had to go take a shower and wash the bat shit that came out of the speakers off. You know.
That That's a new one. It's a triple toaster night here on Friday on the front porch.
Has everybody watched both episodes so far?
I have not.
I have.
Oh, it's on Couch Tuner if you want to watch it, Bob.
Okay, I will. For some reason or another, I've had trouble making that work, and maybe it's because I'm simple.
Oh, I thought Ferg was using it to watch that one show he liked.
Well, we succeeded there, just not elsewhere. I don't understand.
Oh, okay. Well.
Oh, since we've been talking, since we have been talking about the. And, you know, we're not really talking about the missing airliner. We're talking about the idiots talking about the missing airliner. This may be one of the best. I think I read, I shared earlier in the week the blog post from that wingnut Jim Garrow. And he said, you know, he said that the Kenyan Muslim with the deep-seated hatred of white people blew up the airplane. Apparently, that is getting it's getting some legs. Enter wingnut Eric Rush. Again, it's a tennis ball and duct tape moment for those who choose to use it.
At Diego Garcia, some 20 civilian technical personnel were removed from the aircraft for interrogation. Now, on March 8th, Reuters reported that 20 employees of U.S. chip maker Freescale Semiconductor, which has also been, that name has been bandied about in the speculation in the press, supposedly 20 of their employees were passengers on Flight 370, according to a statement from the company. Supposedly, these employees were traveling back and forth between, they regularly travel back and forth between company facilities in Tianjin, China, and Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. You might presume that the individuals were the same 20 who were reportedly taken to Diego Garcia for interrogation. Although my information holds that the detainees were working as contractors. Fine line, I realize. Reports earlier in the week that the flight plan deviation was programmed into a computer system on board rather than being executed manually by one of the pilots, it was quite accurate, I'm told. The airliner was taken over remotely by U.S. intelligence operatives at the behest of those at the highest levels of our government. They commandeered an airliner, kidnapped technical contractors, and they disappeared an entire plane and over 200 passengers, who I am afraid to say are most likely dead.
You got that? I mean, That's given with all the air of authority of fact, isn't it? And yet every last bit of that is made up out of the out of the lizard brain of Eric Rush. He goes on to say, it sounds like an expensive cigar, but Diego Garcia is actually a United States military base that we technically rent from the United Kingdom. At 967 nautical miles south-southwest from the southern tip of India, it is more or less midway between Indonesia and the African continent. The U.S. Navy operates its naval support facility there, which is a naval ship and submarine support base, military air base, as well as a communications and space tracking facility. Yeah, Barack Obama had them all killed. But he does say, of course, that the pilots were allowed to live because they're pro-Islamist.
Diego Garcia is also where they flew the bombers off of during the Iraq War.
Yeah, that's it's a B-52 base.
And B-1s and B-2s can go there.
Yeah, hang on a second. I gotta dump the bat shit out of my headphones here. Okay. Huh?
Oh God. Yeah, we now have a flying bat flapping away in the chat room, courtesy of Jan. Yeah, thanks for the bat, Jan and Jerry.
Yeah. But Diego Garcia is kind of an interesting history on that place as well, as it was something we got off of the British.
Who they still own it.
Yeah, but who took it from whom?
Well, the British took it from the native inhabitants. And the native inhabitants were relocated to Africa, I believe it was.
Because freedom? Because money?
Yeah, apparently. Even though these people have nothing in common with, you know, people in Africa, they just figured, well, you know.
They'll
blend in just fine, you know.
I was counting myself lucky in listening to Eric Rush that he referred to the continent of Africa instead of the country of. I mean, that's a real step forward for this bunch.
Well, he wanted to prove he was smarter than Sarah Palin.
and how sad that that's something that has to be proven.
Anyway,
I don't know. That might be a ray of hope.
The base at Diego Garcia was built up in the late 70s after the Air Force left Thailand. Because there was rumors of it when I was in Thailand that they were going to build that base. And a friend of my dad's went over there and worked. He has a superintendent building docks and that kind of stuff. All Filipino workers.
With some sort of special dispensation to come there?
I guess so. And then my brother-in-law was in the Merchant Marine for a while. And they had the Rapid Deployment Force?
Oh, yeah.
They had all these ships sitting there with tanks and everything on them. And they just sit there on the ship. They go down and start the tanks up and running for a little while. Make sure they still work. And they'd stay there for 6 months and then come home for 6 months and then go back again.
Well, Irish Dave did a little bit of homework and found us the source of Eric Rush's blathering. And, of course, it comes from Newsmuck. As the search, and you can just imagine the martial heavy bass crisis music on Fox or whatever, as the search for Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 drags on without a trace of wreckage at sea, the likelihood of foul play looms larger. We don't know how. One country keeps rising to the top of the list of suspects. Pakistan. 10 days after the flight vanished, Lignet learned that engineers at Boeing, the plane's manufacturer, believed the missing aircraft was on the ground in Pakistan. For several reasons, including Al-Qaeda's presence there, historical attack patterns, corruption, weakness, and terrorist sympathies at the highest levels inside Pakistan, that hunch just might be right.
Where did it stop to refuel?
Oh, that was the Al-Qaeda refueling tanker, Devin.
Ah.
That voice you read that in was priceless, Bob.
Oh, that's my breathless, frightening newscaster voice.
Is it just me, or am I crazy? It never ceases to amaze me, their ability to pull shit out of their ass.
Oh, it's what they do best.
Everyone has that ability, Deb, and it's just that those of us with brains flush it. We don't display it.
Mark sending a link along. He says, this is who hangs out at Diego Garcia, the United States Navy Maritime Pre-Positioning Ships. TAK, TAKR, and TAOT, the U.S. Navy's 14 maritime pre-positioning ships, are part of Military Sealift Command's pre-positioning program. These ships pre-position U.S. Marine Corps vehicles, equipment, and ammunition throughout the world. But, of course, there has to be more. See, you can't take just plain old boring prosaic facts like that and no, because they have to be there along with something else. And you know, you can whatever the something else is, you can just make it up. If you know, if you're on the right wing and some and you've got money coming out your ears because you're being funded by the same organizations that buy truckloads of books, Rush Revere and The Desperate Ride for OxyContin, and you just put it out there. I mean, Newsmuck, World Nut Daily, Wing Nut Daily, they got money that has money, and it's all geared toward and going back to Roger's assertion a little bit ago about not knowing nor caring who Honey Boo Boo Child is. Well, this money, and it's not just the Honey Boo Boo Child crowd. It's the people who watch Duke Dynasty and whatnot. It's geared toward making them think that there is some vast conspiracy against their freedom, you know, their freedom to be dumb and poor, I mean, except for the Duck Dynasty millionaires, that is all the fault of liberals. Now, of course, we don't have any such organizations on our side. And if a grant is given to a progressive group, there must be an accounting to the last tack, staple, and paperclip, or you'll never see another damn dime.
Yep.
Our buddy the Angry Indian pointing out, Eric Rush is a jerk. Yes. Now, based on last night's comment, The Angry Indian has decided to go into competition with me for the position of Captain Obvious. Yes, he is a jerk. And yes, really, really, really not kidding. Perfectly human beings were dispossessed to make room for all the, all the military stuff on Diego Garcia.
Yeah. They won't even let them come back to work there as the indentured servants. You know, they have to import people from Pakistan and wherever else.
No, because they might start feeling at home and feel a little put off by having been ripped off.
Yeah.
Yeah. On another topic entirely, this story intrigued me. It makes it sound like maybe some progress is being made. A story coming from KLTV in Texas regarding their 4th of July celebration in Longview. They're going to hold their 4th of July, their second annual Longview 4th of July festival. Sergi, where is Longview?
Okay, relative to Dallas, Dallas is your north central Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Longview is, if you go on Interstate 20 or the Amtrak east, you get to Longview. It's right when you get to, like, it's Longview, then Marshall, then you're in Louisiana.
Okay. Here's what's interesting. They had scheduled their big 4th of July celebration, and for some reason or another, the organizers decided to hire Ted Nugent to perform. Okay? It sounds like Longview?
Yeah, Longview is one of those places where I wouldn't feel comfortable being out past sundown.
Understood. But consider this. So after all the filthy things that Nugent has said and given his alliance with Greg Abbott, it turns out that it was going to cost the city of Longview $32,000 to get Ted to come and play the one song that was ever played on the radio by, he had two songs that got played on the radio. So instead, apparently, they have decided that they will, instead of paying him $32,000 to play, they're going to engage what I like to call the Marx Brothers option and pay him $16,000 not to play. So even Longview, Texas decided that that the Nuge was a little too toxic for them.
And that's saying something. Because let me tell you, Longview, Marshall, Tyler, that whole Northeast Texas, Deep East Texas. It's like stepping into a time warp back to the 1950s.
And not a good one that involves a jump to the left and a step to the right, and you put your hands on your hips and you bring your arms in tight. No, not that kind of time warp.
I didn't know there was a dance called with that more.
Oh, my God. Okay, everybody. It's culture time for Sergi. And this is not meant in any sort of, you know, talking down or old splaining or anything like that. You must go to the YouTube and you must look up Rocky Horror Picture Show Time Warp. And in fact, most everybody else probably knows what it is, but here. Let's just as a public service, because you never know when you're going to want to do this dance, okay?
It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Madness takes its toll. But listen closely.
Not for very much longer.
I've got to keep control.
Just a jump to the left.
And then a step to the right.
With your hands on your hips.
You can't see me. No, not at all. In another dimension, with voyeuristic intention. Well secluded, I see all.
With a bit of a mind flip,
you're into the time slip.
And nothing can ever be the same.
It's a startled sensation.
Like you're under.
And as noted, Sergi, this is much more fun with the visuals. So just and enjoy the whole Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's quite special. It's a you can't even begin to describe it. But you got a note in from Kim, who says, "Dear Sergi, white people, that is all." And you know it is. That's probably true.
I don't get it.
Just when you probably will if you sit down and watch the clip in the movie.
It was big at the midnight movies in the 70s.
Oh, huge! I mean, you took squirt guns, newspaper, popcorn. There was a script for things that you yelled at characters. Everybody was, of course, suitably altered.
They dress up like, you know, as
one of the your favorite characters from the movie.
Star Wars geeks, you know. Yeah, it was the first dress up, go to the movie things, I guess.
And did you ever do it, Sparky?
No, I was like, I got better things to do.
Yeah, well, apparently, unfortunately, I didn't.
Well, you were about that age then.
Yeah,
I was too busy running around chasing women, working. I worked at a bar a couple of years on it.
Well, see, that's the thing. I was chasing them too, but they ran into the midnight movie showing of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
And I remember, well, let's see, I went as Eddie one time, I went as Riff Raff, yes, I went as Dr. Frankenfurter once.
Eddie?
Yeah. Was that you, Devin?
Yeah.
Yeah, Eddie. The character that was played by Meatloaf, the biker dude with the... I never went as the creature.
There aren't any pictures of this surviving.
No, absolutely none. You know what? I've had to hunt people down to make sure that there weren't. But
let me try something again one more time.
Okay.
See if this works and doesn't screw up the call. Still there?
I'm here.
I am.
Yay!
It worked.
So we finally got you. We finally got you on board. Is this Karen?
Yes, it is Karen.
Wonderful.
Oh,
good
okay.
to hear from you.
I can do a Skype phone.
Thank you.
I wasn't sure that I could and not mess up.
Thank you,
call.
Sparky. I appreciate you so much.
So we've learned something new this evening.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if I'm on the air or not.
You are.
Well, hello, Bob Kincaid.
Well, hello, Karen. It's so nice to talk to you.
Well, thank you. I can't hear Bob, but I hear you, Sparky.
Karen, you can't hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you, Sparky. But I can't hear Bob.
If you're hearing me, this is Bob.
No. Okay, yes, Bob. You have a different voice over the phone. I'm so sorry. Your voice on the air is so much deeper. So I didn't realize that I was actually talking to you. And so I just wanted to say to the fellow listeners of Horn, our wonderful friends, Commune, that we can get through to you via Skype. It did take me about 45 minutes to figure it out, but I did do it.
Well, you got a Skype phone number.
Well, yes, but it takes some time to do it, and also I want listeners to know that in order to sign up for Skype, there is some payment involved. You have to buy Skype.
Well,
time.
only if you get the phone number.
Yeah, there's no.
Okay.
Yeah, if you just sign up with Skype and create an account name, like for instance here, it's Bob Kincaid Horn. It's absolutely free. There's no money involved whatsoever.
Okay. Well, that is good information for your listeners because I was just doing it from scratch, and so Skype told me I needed to buy a certain amount of time. So I paid $10, which was worth it to me to be able to speak with you guys tonight. And I think the conversation this evening has been very, very good, as always. And I really, really liked your caller from Texas, Sergio. Serge. Everything
Serge.
He was saying. Is that Serge? Are you Sergi. There, Sergio?
Sergi.
Sergi.
Yes.
Sergi. I'm so sorry. I have a nephew named Sergio, so I want to call you that. But, Serge, what you said about the transgender population in our country was so right on tonight, and I learned so much. And I did want to let Serge know that I did not understand that community until last summer when my son had a friend who desperately needed a home to stay in. His friend was transgender, and his parents kicked him out. And so, of course, you know, we took him in. And that summer, spending the time with this person was something I will never forget in my life. So I'm just going to say I understand. So I'm sorry to go on and on, but Bob, I'm so glad that I finally figured out Skype, and I do know that other people can do it too. I know that you don't, you know, can't get the calls in right now, but if somebody like me with limited computer skills can figure out Skype with the help of our friend, Duncan, we can do it.
Oh, absolutely, Karen. And, you know, maybe we need to do a little, Skype tutorial or something for folks. Hopefully, I will get some of this stuff remedied over the weekend, or I will know a little bit more. Every time I try to sort out some of these technical problems, there's a phone call, or, you know, the person from Porlock is at the front door, but, you know, I got a couple of uninterrupted days to sit and play fun with technology. But understand, I want to make this abundantly clear. Karen, if you know, you set up an account name. If you send an account name an account name contact request without the phone number or anything, if you just send a contact request to Sparky Dunk and he accepts it, then there's no money need be spent. Nobody's spending money on this, because Skype to Skype calls are all free.
That is excellent information for you to pass on to our Horn family. I'm going to hang up, but I just want you to know that I send you all the best.
Well, I am so glad you did call in. It's awfully nice to talk to you, and I hope I hope you will be part of a larger extended conversation in the future.
I will, Bob. Thank you so much.
Take care, Karen.
Bye-bye.
And yeah, lo and behold, yeah, there are some questions coming in. Randy in PA asking, what is the syntax of a Skype name? Does it have any particular punctuation in it, like, you know, the pound sign or the at sign? It's just, no, I mean, it's just plain. It's just letters. I mean, for instance, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N.
It's just a password.
It's a screen name. It's a login.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no ats or any of that. Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. Boom, done.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a little icon on the top underneath your name in Skype that gives you just a shadow of human head and the shoulders and then a plus sign.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is hit that, put in my name, send me a request.
And there you are. But you can, and I need to sort this out because I don't know the particulars of it. I need to purchase, at least for the duration of time that the Comrex is out. And by the way, we're now approaching $200 for the set aside of either repair or replace costs. So thank you very much to one and all for that. What I was going to say is it is possible to buy a phone number. And so I'm going to do that. And that way folks who want to call in on call a telephone number will be able to call that number, and it'll come through Skype, and we'll be able to at least take one telephone line call. ultimately, and this is something that our buddy Psychoticus has worked on, and it's something that John Fox has worked on, we're trying to find a way to do, like, a 4 or 5-line hunt group so we can do multiple calls through Skype. And it would even be worth it to bring another laptop on board and plug it into another channel to do that. That's probably a lot of inside baseball, isn't it?
No, I understand what you're talking about.
But anybody who wants to participate via Skype can. I mean, it is not, it's not at all complicated.
It no, you just need a good headset and a mic.
Yeah, that really is. That's the key. That is the single most critical aspect of the whole thing, is to have a quality headset and mic. And what's the model you recommend, Sparky?
I use a Plantronics.
Is that wireless?
Wireless, yes.
So it works via Bluetooth?
It's got a dongle.
Oh, okay. Okay, so it just goes into the dongle goes into the audio in and out. Oh, into the USB port. Oh, okay, yeah. Cool.
It's a Plantronics 985H. I have two of them. My wife made me buy one for her.
And I think a number of other people have purchased those as well.
Oh, Larry's ready to come in now.
Okay, and along the way, I had a note coming in from our buddy Michael, who says, "Do not speak of Rocky Horror in the past tense. There are midnight showings to this day in cities all over the country." So, as I said to Michael, that restores my hope for the future, because if we ever got anywhere near civilization, I know for a fact that Margie and Doodle and Ferg and Agnes and would all love to take one of those in. My favorite part was, you know, "Where's your effing neck?" You know, there's all kinds of lines you have to yell. Note coming in from Russell in South Carolina. "Hey, Bob, I go to a Unitarian church. It doesn't even feel like a church to me. It's just fellowship with somewhat like-minded friends. We do have those who lean toward Christianity and others who are humanist, but most are people who could not dig regular religion. I feel like our church is more like the Little Rascals Clubhouse. We couldn't swallow regular religion, so somehow we all found this place where we come together for the comfort of one another of like minds." The website of the Unitarian Church of Spartanburg is uucs.org if you want to check us out sometime. I think you all could feel right at home there. "Just thought I'd drop you a line," says Russell. "Thanks for the program." Thank you for dropping the line, Russell. I appreciate it. And I've been comfortable in several UU churches. It's a pleasant, pleasurable experience, and in a way, I guess you could say that what Russell says about the UU church there is a little bit like what we're doing here with the Horn Family Commune. We found this place where we could come together for the comfort of one another's of like minds. That's almost a mission statement, isn't it, for the Horn?
Sounds like it.
Oh, and Grant has wandered in. Good evening, Grant.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I meant to tell you, I saw that that piece you posted about Cole on Facebook, and I really, really enjoyed it.
When the River Runs Black?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, I really liked the way they put the website together. It was almost like a Ken Burns documentary or something, with the way the CSS fades out some of the photos and stuff as you scroll.
Yeah, it was really neat. It was really visually interesting, too, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing I like about it is they really took their time to tell the story of what was going on. You know, I dug that. Hey, I wanted to plug a book that I just finished.
Yeah?
It's called The Price of Inequality by Joseph E. Stiglitz.
I'm familiar. It seems like I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, well, it's an excellent book because he spends the first 6 chapters going, defining. He introduces a few new words that people aren't used to using, or terms. But he spends the first 6 chapters of the book basically every jot and tittle of why things are the way they are, and including all of the right-wing misperceptions on economics. And then from chapters 7 to 10, this is the part I love. He goes chapter and verse on solutions to all the specific problems. That's what I really love about this book. It's not just complaining. He's saying, here's the whole layout. Soup to nuts. You can do this, this, this. This guy was head of the World Bank and had to go toe-to-toe with the IMF a bunch of times.
Oh, and yeah. By the way, I knew I'd heard of it, Grant, because as Jack reminds me from Jack in Shreveport, Dr. Bill mentioned the book, and bing, bing, ding, ding, yeah, we have a winner. That's where it comes from. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got Dr. Bill reading it. I was hoping he might comment or share some thoughts on air about it, because it's sort of the hot topic in our little circle here up in Portland. You know, we're talking about it because, you know, it's like it's the kind of book where the solutions would make a nice little demand list to go to the politicians with and beat on their head for about 5 years.
Yeah, you've really piqued my curiosity now. And since I'm coming to the end of my reread of John D. McDonald's Travis McGee series, sometimes you just have to have some time off for a little fun reading.
Sure.
It may be time to delve back into serious thought.
It's a pretty good one. If you have a Kindle, they have it available for Kindle. But if not, I usually go to Alibris. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
I've heard of Alibris.
Yeah. They do out-of-print books as well, but they have really good prices, better than Amazon, better than a lot of places, even better than Powell's, and I usually pump Powell's pretty hard. But but Alibris is one of my favorite places for getting really low-cost books.
And these are physical books?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But if you want, Amazon has it for the Kindle. It's just a matter of how you like to take your stuff.
You've got Alibris, you've got A-Books, you've got Book Finders, you've got Powell's.
Yeah. Lots of good purveyors of fine books. So anyway, I wanted to plug that one because I'm just really impressed with the guy, you know, and what he has to say. You know, he doesn't mince words, he doesn't go all around the place, he just goes very matter-of-factly, this is what's up. And I really dig that.
Is that Stiglitz?
That's Stiglitz, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, yep, that's on the list.
Cool.
Howdy, Bob.
Hey, Larry, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm a little late today, but I'm okay. I put something up on your Facebook and up on my Facebook to ask people to give you and a number of other hosts a shot to listen to.
Okay.
Right now, the Pacifica folks are sitting in at the, or demonstrating at the Pacifica National Office in Berkeley. I don't know how that's going, but I know that Pacifica's going, they're always in crisis. And I even suggested that they carry you and carry Mike Malloy. That might, you know, that might help there. Donor people might donate money, but you know, so I don't know. That's what's going on, really. How are you? How's everyone else? I guess everybody's okay.
I will not speak for everyone else, Larry. I'll let them do that for themselves.
Okay.
Enjoying the nice weather, Larry.
Yeah, the weather's really good here. The weather's really, really nice here today.
Like some people celebrated spring yesterday. We had spring time start about a month ago.
Yeah.
I mean, all the trees have got leaves back on them. The pasture's growing up like crazy.
Yeah.
And I guess for us, it'll soon be ramp time around here. If it isn't already, usually up at the little grocery store, which was once a food land and is now a wiggling pig. People look,
wiggly, wiggly.
Yes, I call it the wiggling pig.
So
there'll be people who will bring ramps in. I'm sorry, Devin.
So you skipped the
intergalactic foods or whatever it was that that we got in the food land when they folded up.
No, your food land broke. Food land broke camp too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I actually like the Wiggling Pig a lot better.
Something moved in for a while as some kind of food fresh galaxy or something. I don't know where that came from.
Food neutron star.
Didn't last very long. Of course, most of the stuff that was in there, you know, it probably came from a galaxy far, far away.
Well, the nice thing, and I really do, I love my little local grocery store. It's about 6 miles away, and one of the nicest things about it is with the advent of the Wiggling Pig, we've seen some really exotic stuff come in here, like marinated olives. You know, not just like the little green olives in the vinegar brine, and not just the canned black olives with no flavor. No, real live, honest to God, marinated olives, little flecks of red pepper in them and stuff. And really, that is freaking exotic for around here. But the nicest thing is that they've got a real meat cutting department. And you can ring the little buzzer by the door, and they'll say, yeah, what do you want? And you'll say, I'm engaging in some fantasy here. I'd like a ribeye steak 2 inches thick. And they'll cut you one. You know, right there. It's not in a vacuum sealed container like it is at Wally World, and it doesn't have a note on it saying this meat may have come from the United States, Mexico, Canada, China, Argentina, Australia, Chile, or Diego Garcia. And so, what you're getting, and it's kind of nice. And they're really friendly folks, and they'll bust their butts to make you happy and bring in stuff that you want. I, for instance, begged for some halfway decent decaf coffee. By God, if they didn't find me some. Because generally, if it's that garden variety decaf, you know, in the green can and it doesn't say 100% Colombian or something on there, it tastes like melted brown crayon in hot water, at which point, what's the point?
Oh, boy.
Because I do like the taste. I just can't take the caffeine. I really can't take the caffeine. Way, 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 way back in the archives of this program, early in the process, there is an episode of the program in which Agnes you make certain assumptions, like root beer doesn't have caffeine in it, because it doesn't, except for one brand does. And I wasn't thinking about it. Barks, exactly, Devin. So, you know, she hands me a can of Barks root beer, which I, you know, chugged down during the course of the program. And you know, I finished it, and I sounded like a freaking auctioneer. And my heart was leaping out of my chest. The sweat was beating. I caffeine and I do not get along.
Speaking as a root beer aficionado myself, you know, Barks will send you from Westmoreland to Parker Road in 15 minutes, but I found that out the hard way.
Yeah, I mean, there's granted, soda pop is toxic in the first place. We all understand that. And I don't drink a lot of the stuff, but every now and then, you know, it's a little treat. I will take a few sips of one of the Mexican Coca-Colas that's still made with sugar and not high fructose corn syrup just because I enjoy the flavor and just because it's the only thing that, you know, you can make a Cuba Libre with. But, you know, I don't drink a lot of the stuff. But, no, please, somebody explain to me why Barks root beer and sun-kissed orange soda, for Christ's sakes, orange soda, which is consumed mostly by kids, has caffeine in it. Because it does.
I have no idea. All I know is that I drink a bunch of both, and that's probably part of the reason I don't sleep well.
Hey, Sergi, I do. Time's running out, but I do have a question for you because I thought of you immediately when I saw this. Have you yet tasted the Taco Bell entree into the breakfast market?
No, because I've seen the breakfast menu, and it doesn't sound appetizing to me, mainly because I absolutely detest eggs.
Oh, okay, because I figured if anybody was going to take one for the team on the Taco Bell breakfast menu, it might be Sergi. I mean, the man who brought us the donut burger. I mean, really.
And also don't forget my Sunday fun day. I think I've ever mentioned that with you in the group before.
Yeah, I think you have, but I'm sure people might love a refresher.
Basically, Sunday fun day is where you get a huge pot, okay, and you combine you get two pounds of wolf brand chili, 2 pounds of Velveeta, you got a whole white onion, a bag of shredded cheddar, a block of sharp cheddar, what else is there, an entire average size package of bacon, a couple of sausages, a pack of hot dogs, barbecue sauce, sour cream, and there's a few other ingredients that I forget off the top of my head. I don't feel like...
Oh, my God. Be still my beating heart and harden my arteries.
Oh, yeah, and Fritos. You know how you get the big bag of Fritos, right? The one that mm-hmm. weighs about a pound, where you put one whole bag in, and then when you get ready to eat, you eat it with another.
Ooh wee!
Yeah, so, Sergi, is that stew that you sent us?
Yes, that is Stitcher.
Okay.
You know what, Sergi? One of these days, there's a little hillbilly delight here, and maybe other people do it too. But when canning season comes around, the name of the recipe I was given was simply Wicked Weenies, and they're magnificent. It's chopped up hot dogs with hot peppers and sweet peppers and onions in a ketchup based sauce. That you then can and let sit and marinate, you know, in a safe canned status for a couple of weeks. And, oh, my God. I mean, I've seen people rip into those things and just knock down a quart of them without thinking.
Yeah, see, I'm always up for trying stuff like that. As far as breakfast menus go, I can't eat eggs. Like, when I say that, like, things that have egg in them, but where I can't taste the egg is fine.
Yeah, like cake.
But I can't stand, like, eggs, they're so slimy, and they so I avoid most breakfast menus, with the exception of the McGriddles, and that's a very guilty pleasure of mine.
I think we're just going to have to dub you our fast food correspondent, Sergi, among other things.
Pretty much, because after this show is over, I'm going up to Texas-style chicken and seafood, and I'm gonna have chicken and fries time.
Oh yeah, now you just moved on to rubbing it in, because I'm gonna have my evening bowl of fancy ramen with the flavor boost packet.
Hey Bob.
Yes.
I just added a new person to the chat. Is retired one from the chat room.
Yes.
Joe.
Yeah, Joe. Hey, Joe.
I don't know if you can hear me.
We can.
Okay. I'm a Skype newbie, and I've been listening online for a long time.
Oh, I know, and I see your periodic communications. So welcome to the Friday Night Horn Skype chat group.
Thank you very much. It's a great group.
Oh, we have a lot of fun around here.
The fun really starts after Malloy.
Yeah, then it gets wild and the hair comes down and yeah.
So Joseph, where are you from?
Long Island, New York.
About as far away from me as you can get.
That's the beauty of this. We've got the transcontinental thing going on now, from Long Island to Portland to Northern California to Texas. Wow. And of course,
Taiwan.
Yeah, Taiwan's in the house, for God's sakes.
Wow, Taiwan?
Yeah.
Oh, where's that? Sweden, I think.
Yeah, it's right next door to Sweden. You can almost see it from here.
And Sarah Palin can see it from her house.
We've got somebody from Sweden that shows up once in a while.
Yeah, that's our buddy Scott. And now that we've mentioned his name, I'll hear from him. Hi, Scott.
Yeah, and Jeffrey from Holland or from Netherlands.
Oh, yeah. Since.
And once in a while, I'm from Peru.
And we used to have Hernan from Argentina in the group mm-hmm. on a regular basis, but not anymore.
We are rapidly running out of time, but I have a quick question for you, Roger. When you do make your way down to Peru, we were talking about all those wild different varieties of potatoes the other day. Do you ever get a chance to try those when you're down there?
Yeah, I've eaten a lot of them, and as a matter of fact, my wife's leaving for Peru next Sunday. Not this one coming, but the next one. But I'm not going on this trip. But, yeah, I've eaten a lot of different ones of them, and they all have a slightly different flavor.
I'm fascinated with those that get, like, smashed and halfway fermented, and then they're left in the high altitudes to sort of freeze dry on their own and then made into a soup. And well, I'd love to try that.
Oh, you're talking about chuños and tuntas.
Yes. Yes, I am. Even though I can't say them, I am.
And I really can't stomach any of them, but some people love them.
Oh, kind of nasty, are they?
Well, to my palate, they are.
Okay. That's nice of you to be that non-judgmental, though. I mean, it's like the first time I got Ferg to try menudo, and he didn't like it. We tried it out in Vegas. He didn't like it, and I said, "Well, you know what Bourdain says about tripe?" And he says, "What?" He says, "He says it tastes like wet dog." And he said, "He's right." So you know, it's all out there. Well, listen, it is time to get out of here, Joe. I hope you'll be back with us again soon. Don't be a stranger.
I sure will.
I look forward to it. And thanks, everybody, for participating this evening. Thank you, Larry, and thank you, Grant. Thank you, Joe. Thank you, Devin. Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Sergi. Thank you, Horst. And thank you, as always, Sparky. Sorry we didn't have the phone lines, but we're working on a remedy to that, slowly but surely. Thank you to everybody in the chat room, one and all. It's been a fun evening. I had no idea. I could see, I'm with Sergi on the egg thing. Waggy says, hey, you can poach an egg on top of your ramen. I do eggs scrambled and omelets, and, I mean, Ferg loves sunny-side-up fried eggs. Can't do it. I'll also eat them boiled, but poached? I'm not sure. Thanks going out to everyone who helps keep all of this going. Thank you to Sal for being there this evening, as Sal almost always is. Thank you very, very much. We will begin Monday in a, we'll have a $145 hole to fill as well as Monday's regular fundraising. So if that some of that got filled in over the weekend, that would be great. But thank you one and all for the time that you spend in this little conversation, in this little community. You are the ones who make this as special as it is. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff, again, Sparky and, of course, Lottie and Texas Betsy in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Even in the middle of his busy evening, he found time to get online and reboot the Horn stream server and made our buffering problems go away. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know. The men and women at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and ACHECT, ACHEACT.ORG. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And Rick Smith is next on the Horn. Have a great weekend.